Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio from the 38th edition of the Lovers Film Festival. I'm Federica Scarpa, and today I'm in company of Fabian Stumm, director of Bones and Names in the All the Lovers section. Hello, Fabian.
Hi, very nice to meet you.
First of all, would you like to introduce your film to our listeners, what it's about?
Bones and Names is a film about two men who have been in a relationship for a long time, and they are faced with some struggles. So they are forced to think about whether they should be still together or not. And the film is taking place in a sort of an art environment in Berlin. One is an actor, one is a writer. So it's also about not only about the relationship, but about their respective fields of work and how sometimes work and life is a bit difficult to divide.
Where does the story of this film comes from? Where do you find the inspiration for this story?
Well, it's a very personal film for me. It's some of the things are autobiographic and some are made up. But I really wanted to tell a story that was very close to myself and also to the people around me, my friends and my family. And so I think what happened was a little bit, I think if you take me and separate me in two people, then it's probably these two men. So, I wanted to talk about things that, on the one hand, scare me a little bit in terms of relationships and in life in general. A lot of the film is about, you know, death and letting go and loss also. That's something, I guess, like a lot of people in the last few years, especially, have been dealing with a lot or were forced to deal with. But it's also about things that make me happy, and especially the kid. There's a character of a little girl who's the niece of one of the men. She's a little black girl, and she is kind of, you know, she's 10 and she's starting to realize, ah, oh, maybe the childhood is slowly ending. So she's trying to push her boundaries a little bit. And I feel very close to this kid, for example. The some elements in her story and character are very autobiographic. So, yeah.
In fact, I wanted to ask you about that, about, let's say, these two stories inside your film, the story of these two men, but also the story of this kid. How did you balance and mixed these two stories? They are very different, but also very similar, too.
Yes. That's nice that you say that, because I also agree. And that's something I have to admit, it was a bit intuitive. Like, I didn't even plan it. It was very clear that this, you know, the story of the man was there very quickly. And for some reason, I started while writing it, this kid kept on kind of jumping in. And I was like, okay, she probably wants to have some space in there. Okay, let's see. And then I did realize when we started filming, I realized it's true. There is a connection between those three people. And what I enjoy about it, or what I find interesting, is that, like me in my personal life, I'm very close to my own childhood still. Like, I'm 42 now, but I still, a lot of the times, I feel like a kid. So, and I kind of like that also. And I think it's the well where I kind of draw most of my inspirations and ideas, because I had a great childhood. I'm very close to my family. And I do sometimes wonder about whether you ever have this moment of, like, you're a kid and you're a teenager and then you're grown up. And for me, it never really happened. Like, if I look back, it's one line, you know, there's not a cut where you're like up and now you're grown up and you're responsible. You have to, you know, not be scared or whatever. So for me, now when I watch the film, it's even more obvious that they're somehow connected, and I enjoy that.
Your film has also a very specific visual identity, and can you tell me more about that? How did you imagine the film in this way?
Absolutely. While writing it already, I had, for most of the scenes, I was quite clear how I wanted them to look, which felt a bit strange at first, because I was like, oh, how can I know already, or should I know already what it's going to look like? But it just happened like that. And I wanted it to be very clear and and as little cuts as possible, because I like the idea of also watching time go by, you know, and not forcing an audience, but inviting an audience to also take their time and kind of, you know, whether you enter a scene or not, it's on your own will, you know. You can either go for it or not. You can also, you're also welcome to stay out of it. And I always told my actors and actresses, I always said, I would love to make a film that's not where the film doesn't jump towards the audience, but it invites the audience to slowly approach in their own rhythm. And that's why I kept it very architectural and very, you know, like the lots of empty spaces. And so, but when you see a face, you really focus on the face because there's nothing to distract you.
This is your first feature film.
Yes.
You born as actor. How was this, let's say, this transformation between actor, writer, and director?
Yeah. I would always love to tell a bit more, something more dramatic, but it was just very natural. It really felt liberating even, because I love acting for directors, and I love, you know, kind of trying to enter their vision and finding stuff together. But I also tend to be kind of a teacher's pet, like a very good student, and I want to deliver something that they're happy with while also making me happy. And with this film, that of course didn't happen, because I'm close to the director anyway, and I was kind of very free to just try things out. And also one thing that I noticed was how you can really direct actors while you're acting with them, you know, because I was so focused on how they react and how they listen to me, what they do, and then I would react to them. So I felt super free, which is not always the case. So it was really natural. I'm kind of excited now to keep, you know, exploring this, because I think you can do a lot if you know what you want to do, you know, and you have a skeleton of a film that guides you. But I think you can, yeah, I'm quite inspired by filmmakers who work like that. You know, I'm a big fan of Valeria Bruni-Tedeschi, for example. Is that how you pronounce it? Valeria Bruni-Tedeschi, yes. People like that, Nanni Moretti. Those are big inspirations to me. So when we tried to finance this film, a lot of people told me, but no one does it. It's not done. And I was like, there are a lot of people, Nanni Moretti, da, da, da. And they're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's true. So, yeah.
About that, there is a meta cinema part inside your film, and which I really love. I really love that kind of film. I was wondering how it was to direct a director that directs you in the film and inside the film.
That's a very good question, actually. That was some of my favorite parts of the filming were with working with this actress, Marie-Lou Selem, who's a German-French actress. And she is fantastic. She's such a good actress, and she's super smart. She's very intelligent, and she understood very quickly that, of course, she's in some ways a substitute of me, but she is a part of me that I don't, like, I'm a very nice person. I think I'm quite warm. I'm quite gentle. I'm patient. That's also how I direct my actors and actresses. But for some reason, I think she understood that she was allowed to have another kind of force and strength. So we had a lot of fun doing that. And I also liked that she didn't apologize for it. Like, she acted her in a way, she played this character quite, I would even say quite, like, she had a very male energy that you usually, you know, you're used to seeing male directors portrayed like that, you know? And for some reason, she dared to do it, and she didn't have, like, I only gave her one little moment quite in the end of the film where she's allowed to kind of have this, okay, let me see and be a bit softer. And I think she did it well. I think it's quite, she's quite controversial. After the screenings in the Berlin Film Festival, we had a lot of discussions about, wow, she's quite tough. And someone else said, no, but she wants to fight for her vision. It's good. And the other person said, yeah, but I mean, ooh, wow, she's quite a bully. So I like that character. She's fascinating. Yeah.
Factor. I must say it's my favorite character.
Ah, she'd be very happy to hear that. That's great.
One last question, because I cannot ask you these things, because yesterday I was at the Q&A of the films, and you talk about Taylor Swift, and I'm Team Taylor too. So, yes.
Oh my goodness, great!
So how did you decide to put Taylor inside your film?
Well, that's let's be friends. No, I'm a big Taylor fan as well. And when I wrote the film, there was a quote next to my desk on the wall by Joan Didion, this novel author who I really admire. And it was a quote where she was asked why she writes. And she responded, to remember what it was like to be me. That's always the point. And for me, somehow that was the guiding line for this film. Like I wanted to, because I had been coming from kind of a rough private time, you know, breakups and stuff like that. So I really wanted to focus on, you know, what is it that makes me me, and what do I, like I said, what am I scared of? What do I enjoy in my life? And when I wrote it after a while, I was like, well, okay, I put a lot of stuff in it, whether it's, you know, the characters reflect things or people that I'm close to, the posters on the walls reflect films that I feel close to. The music is something that I'm very close to, the classical pieces. And after a while, I was like, well, I have to. I mean, Taylor Swift is such a big, well, she's quite a support system in my life. I'm really close to her music. She really, accompanies me in my life. So I really think she needed, I thought she needed a little, a small moment for herself. And of course, everyone who knows me well, when they see the film now, they're like clapping or laughing, because everyone I know, they're like, oh, okay, he's Team Taylor. No, I'm really inspired by her. I think she's a fantastic storyteller, really, you know, that's why I love talking about it, actually, because I get very annoyed when people have this genre bias, you know, and they're like, yeah, but it's like pop music. I'm more into whatever, Indian, and then someone, it's the same with cinema. It's the same with art in general, any kind of art, you know, and people get like, have like boundaries. Ah, it's not cool. It's not cool. And in the end, for me, it's really not about that. It's just about, is someone able to transmit something personal in their work? And for me, she does it magnificently. So, yeah.
What do you prefer, Tina Turner or Taylor Swift?
Sorry, Tina, I really like you, but I'm Team Taylor.
Thank you very much, Fabian, for being with us. I'm Federica Scarpa, and this is Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.